Heavenly Father, we know the possibility of all ages, that which men have hungered and longed for is right in our midst. For you said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and who shall live and believe in me shall never perish, is right now in this very moment ours, and we know it. We're grateful for it. We know that, Lord, more than life itself. We know it's greater than death itself. We know that it is God himself, and we're very grateful for that. We praise you, Lord. We marvel. We wonder. Yea, Lord, within ourselves we cannot contain ourselves. And yet that's just the way it should be, for God in us, the hope of glory. And how can there be a containment? It must have a fulfillment, an outreach, Lord, into the very depths of yourself and what you said you are and would do. And here we are, Lord, at this hour, knowing that all the ends of the earth have come upon us, and all the good things of Almighty God are here. How we praise thee, Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We just can never get over it, Lord. Never will, but thank God we're entering into the place where it has become richer, realer, deeper, sweeter in all ways. We commend ourselves to you this evening, our Lord, in this little time of heaven on earth, praising your name for your goodness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're going to go into the two mothers again from a different aspect, because we especially adapted for Mother's Day. And we'll go into the more of the actual meaning of it by reading first of all in Galatians 4, 19-31, and Galatians 5, 1-6. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. And he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Hagar. And this Hagar's Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free. For it's written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she would have than husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, in verses 19 to 31, that's actually a type of a parable. And of course, a parable is a fictitious story. It's a kind of a little fable that conveys a moral or brings out a certain point in a way that it could not be reached without using that particular type of illustration. So it's an illustration that hopefully makes clear a principle or gets a certain point across or divulges certain information that is better presented that way than some other way. Now, an allegory actually does the same. An allegory is a parable. It's the description of one thing under the image of another. That's pretty well what an allegory is. It's a description of one thing under the image of another to hopefully emphasize and clarify. Now, this allegory, then, that's the description of one thing, he's describing one thing under the image of another, so you get a proper balance and understand relationship, that you really get to see the point by this illustration, which you wouldn't get it otherwise. This allegory here pertains to two covenants, and that's the 24th verse. The first part says, which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gender the bondage, which is Hagar, and so on. Now, these two covenants may be better stated as the fifth chapter in the fourth verse. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are, whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now you see where this little allegory is to take us. So it's really a matter of law versus grace, or of faith versus works. Now that's what the allegory is all about. These two covenants, a law and grace, faith and works. And the way to get it across is by looking at the biblical illustration of the two wives of Abraham, the two women and the children, and to follow through what lies in them in order to understand grace. Now, in order for Paul to get out the truth of uncompromising and unfailing grace, he uses five people, Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael, and then two cities by the same name, and then certain episodes in the lives of the five people to describe grace as it really is and law as it really is. Now, Paul wants to get this down to simplicity, which many people are a little devoid of this simplistic attitude that should be taken. And so we want to just hold this as simple as we can. Now, the disfavor of law is seen in what happened to Hagar and her son. In other words, you can see where law goes, what comes out of it. And there's no use you trying to say, well, hey, I really think this. Shut up and stop thinking. You haven't been invited to think. See, that's what's wrong with people. The Sanhedrin got to the place where they said, well, when God has a problem, he calls on us. When did God ever call on them? When did the horse call on the jackass? People don't like my language. I think it's pretty good. I'm not unhappy about it. Not a bit. Nobody asked us to think, except to think on these things. See, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. About what? What he sets the pattern on. So we can see from the scripture the allegory, which is the illustration to bring up the point exactly what happens under law. And you don't argue. And we had a lot of arguments. Fine, where does it get you? People got enough brains not even argue with the IRS. But they sure love to argue with God. Now, this is clearly God's point of view concerning works of what we're going to go into. It's clearly God's point of view because Paul contends he wrote this in the Holy Spirit. Now, that's disfavor of law. The favor of grace is clearly seen in Sarah and Isaac. This is also God's viewpoint of him embracing grace contrary to law. Each family is viewed not only as to genealogy, so as to place them, but their true relationship to God and their ultimate ends are pointed out. Do you hear what I said? Each family is viewed as to genealogy, so you get to place them. Also, their true relationship to God and their ultimate disposition is pinpointed. Law and grace, faith and works. Law versus grace, faith versus works. Two distinct covenants pictured for us by what happened in Genesis to these closely related people. Now that's one of the big stickers. See? Like Brother Branham mentioned, there's an Armenian branch and there's a Calvinistic branch. Which is right. He said neither one the way they went. But that's beside the point. Two distinct covenants pictured for us by what happened in Genesis to these closely related people. They are the characters of the drama of grace versus law or faith versus works. Now, so, We go into the history of the Genesis account. One, you will notice in Galatians that Sarah is called a free woman. She is called a free woman. So let's check it out. We'll go back to Genesis, the 12th chapter, 1 to 6 to begin with. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot's brother's son, and all their substance he had gathered, and the souls he had gotten in Haran. And they went forth the land of Canaan, the land of Canaan they came. Now in Genesis, the 20th chapter. And we'll just read verses 10 to 12. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place. And I saw the look on your face when you looked at my wife. And they will kill me for my wife's sake. And yet, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. All right, there are two things to note immediately. One, Sarah is of the same lifeline as is Abraham, her husband. It's the first thing you look at. She is of the same lifeline. They have the same father. Number two, she received the same call of election. Because as Abraham came out, she would come out also. It was the same call of election. This makes Sarah the perfect type of the New Jerusalem, which is from above, which is from God. Now you see why? Let's look at it. We go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now follow your type carefully here. Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father. That's what he's saying, placing Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, and who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All right, we go to 1 John chapter 4. And verse 4, all right, who is Christ of? He is of God. In John 4 and 4, you are of God, little children. The same placing, absolutely, that as God is the source of the Lord Jesus Christ, so also are those in the bride. All right, let's go to Songs of Solomon. The 4th chapter. And the 4th verse. No. Won't have an after all. 16th verse. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices are afloat. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Now this is a love scene. It's sexual, which types marriage. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. Notice, I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink ye, drink abundantly, O beloved. Now notice in here, let my beloved come. That's the bride speaks. And the bridegroom answers back. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. Exactly Sarah and Abraham. Exactly Christ and a bride. See? And this is the love scene. All right? Let's go to Revelation 21. And in there, the ninth verse, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Came from God. Having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even a jasper stone clear as crystal. Alright? Let's go to 1 Peter 2. 1 to 6. I'm not taking a lot of time. A lot of time is not necessary. Therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy and envies, and all evil speakings as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, we're talking of two lines. Their lines being the same, their election being the same. And remember, Sarah's called New Jerusalem, and we are New Jerusalem. The bride of Christ must be the sister. She must be the spouse. She must come from God, the same as he came from God. All right. Verse 30, if so be you have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming is unto a living stone, this allowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now notice, he's a stone. You also are stones. Lively stones is built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. Christ the high priest, we priest. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Why? Because the same lineage. See? Wherefore also, it is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect. Remember, Jesus had election. A lot of people don't want to put Jesus in the election. Where are you going to put him? See, don't be afraid of terminology. You got Jesus so far away that, well, where are you? Did you say somewhere in the Word I was related to you? Yes! Thunder, didn't it? I don't think I really heard what he said, though. No, couldn't have said that, no. Come on, Pentecostal hogwash! Legalistic claptrap and balderdash! So stinking self-righteous and so good. What's your brother Bill? The point is this. I don't feel so good. That's why I'm afraid to. And you got too much stinking pride. You can't take what he said. I'm not hitting you. These tapes go, brother, sister. Plumb around the world, whether I want them out or not. Hope some preachers get some hands on them. So stop mealy-mouthing around. You'll tell more lies than the devil himself over the grace question. It says he was elect. The prophet said it too. He brought it to our attention, and we're elect. And if he ain't in the same election he was in, just leave God alone. Buzz off. I would hate to be found making God puke. You see, I don't like that expression. About time you learn to like it. You hit him hard where it belongs. To these nice, nice little preachers. These nice, nice people. So behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone elect. Chosen. Manifested as to choosing. Precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. But unto them which disbelieve, they're disobedient. The stone which the builder disallowed, the same has become the head of the corner. He'll come on down and get you anyway. But you won't like what? You won't like it. Because the coming together at that time is when he comes to the bride. Old Sarah. And Sarah said, get rid of it! Oh,
said Brother B. You're bloodthirsty. Well, as I said before, better red than dead, join the reds.
Amen.
When judgment comes, who would you sooner see get it? You or them? I feel sorry for Brother Norman with his problem. I'm going to tell you one thing. I shudder to think I might have it. I'm not glad he's got it, no way, shape, and form. But I shudder to think I had it, and I never gave it to him. And he doesn't like it either. He'd like to get shuck of it. Put that into the spiritual realm. I didn't even do with those sinners out there. I didn't even do with the Ishmaelites, the Hagars. Old Sarah got her dander up. She said, ain't no way. She said, I'm going to sit down with that bunch. Nor does that fourth verse, chosen of God, elect of God. Have I not chosen you? Jesus said. Foreknowledge. Okay. Let's turn back to 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now who's elect? Through sanctification of the Spirit and unto obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, with the begottenness, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ and then unto inheritance. Notice in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, the 9th verse, but your chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation. Typing it right in there, election, choosing, predestination, placing right with him as a priest, complete and beautiful identification, that you show forth the praises of God even as he did. All right. You can see why she is called our mother. The Jerusalem from above in Galatians 4:26, because it's absolutely true. You see, it takes the allegory to bring out the complete truth. And when you begin searching down, you show me where the bride is remiss in one point in this illustration. Now, this is factual history. You say, well, I don't know if that works for us. Then you don't know nothing. You better repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and try to get the Holy Ghost because you haven't got him. You got another gospel. That's what Paul said. He said, you've been removed from the gospel I brought. You lost your virginity and went into damnation. Instead of spiritual sexual intercourse with Almighty God, you chose some filthy thing out here. They're paying a price for it. And you've never seen such filth today sexually as there is in America, which shows where the doctrine's gone.
Amen.
I look at my brothers around the country. Sure, I'm excoriated. Most people hate me with a passion. And I'll tell you why. You give me any preacher stand beside me. You let me tell you his doctrine. Let him repeat his doctrine. I'll tell you exactly where he's gone off. Not because I'm smart, because I'm not smart. But these preachers come to me, telephone calls, everything else. They say, Brother Bell, I don't see this, I don't see that. But they haven't got enough guts to tell me. It's your little private, little cookie doctrines they think so much of.
Right, amen.
Just let me find out from the grapevine, though. That's all. Because they won't tell me. I tell everybody, I spill my guts. They won't spill theirs, though. Then you watch. They can't place the presence. How they're going to do it? There's adultery in there. It's the end time. It's a complete filthy mess of the end time. They turn down grace. The whole church all filled up with legalism. Now, you can see, as I say, why she's called our mother. Notice, secondly, that Sarah is called barren. Let's go back to Genesis 16. You go to the first part of the verse. Now, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She was barren. Now, go to 17, chapter 15 to 17. Abram fell up, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also by her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings and people will be of her. Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, notice he called her Sarah right away, recognize his own name, that is 90 years old, bear. Now, we see that her name is officially become princess. So her sons will be kings and princes. And all the ruling class are in her. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. 22 to 24, and I saw no temple therein for the Lord God Almighty, the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city hath no need of sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. Neither that worketh abomination nor maketh a lie. But they that are in the Lamb's book of life. Now notice, we'll go and find out what this youngster Ishmael was doing that disqualifies him and throws this bunch into the Ishmael class. They defile. They work abomination. They make a lie. See, the name's never written in the Lamb's book of life. If the name's written in the Lamb's book of life, they wouldn't be working abomination and idolatry. They wouldn't be into lies. They wouldn't be defiling and defile. Now, you notice what lies in there. All royalty lies in there. But they are of her only because of the promise of Genesis 17 and 16. I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. In other words, in her will be nations. Kings and people shall be of her. That's exactly right. Now, go back to Galatians, the fourth chapter. Now notice what the promise was to her. And she's New Jerusalem, which is from above. And it says in verse 28 of chapter 4 of Galatians, and now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. And the children of promise were kings and princes. Were priests unto Almighty God. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a one in an eternity group of people. In a certain mold, from a certain lineage, a certain genealogy. Now, notice in there, she was barren. She couldn't produce. So we go back to John 1, the first chapter of John. Verses 11 to 13, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to be the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As hard as she tried, and as hard as Abraham tried, she could not have a son until God intervened and said, this is that hour, and God made it possible. So the child was not born of the will of the parents. Although they desired it. You and I can have a desire, but that doesn't mean we're going to get it. You and I can desire to be sons of God, but that doesn't mean we're going to get it unless God has decreed it and God's made a way for it. And these, then her son was not born according to the flesh or the will because they were past it. It took an absolute miracle. And when they were turned back, that was just as monumental in a sense of the word as when God created egg and sperm in the womb of Mary. I say just as monumental in its own sphere. See? As Brother Branham once said, he said, an ordinary birth that's here where God is bringing down a natural and a spiritual election is more complicated than a virgin birth is. When you think of the billions of people that are on this earth already, and the little trillions of sperm which in there, and the egg which are the genes and the chromosomes. My heavens, it would take one with trillions of zeros behind it. In the computer mind of Almighty God to bring forth that exact one exactly the way He wants it. You talk about thinking that's a great thing that God brings all the stars up by name and calls them in at night. That's nothing compared to bringing forth a child. Born not of the will of man. Why, you know yourself how many times men and women in the flesh try to have a son and they end up with 5, 6, 7, 8 daughters. That closes the book. Another couple try to have a daughter and end up with 15 sons. And that closes the book. Some try to have none at all and get caught anyway. So you don't kid with God. I'm trying to show you something here. Not facetious, just trying to show you. The will of the flesh does not enter near as much as people think it does. And when it comes to the proper birth, the will of the flesh doesn't enter, period. Now, that's the way it was with this. And that's the way it is with you and me. Had not one thing to do with it. We were foreknown. And we had to come on down here and take a form on the same as Jesus did. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Notice what it says about them in verses 8 to 12. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. Isaac and Jacob heirs in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, the builder's maker is God. Now listen, he looked for a city. Then notice, right afterwards, through faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. There's the start of your city. Yep. All this group in her. In other words, which she stands for, which she types up, we are the antitype. As it says in John 6 and 37, all the Father giving you come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out, except the Father draw, you can't come. See? And it tells you flat she was barren. There was no way in the realm of humanity that she could ever produce. Did she ever become the type of that great city? But she did, because of the work of Almighty God. Every single child in the collective bride comes in by promise. It is always foreknown, elected, predestinated, and glorified. And except the Father draw him, and the Father won't draw him except he was foreknown. No way. Except he was in the Father, in the beginning, there was no drawing of him to begin with. Let's go to John 8. Let me tell you something, brother, sister. There are more people fouled up over predestination this message than you can shake a stick at. Everybody in the country is legalist except America. And America's got too many legalists in it, too. They're sickly legal. John 8, 36 to 47. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father, you do that which you've seen with your father. The answer is that Abraham is our father. Yeah, Abraham was the father of Ishmael. Why'd they figure that one out? Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. They said, then we be not born of fornication. See, now they're going back at the serpent seed. See, they're not dealing anymore now here with Sarah and Abraham. They're going right back to Eve. Because they understood serpent seed. We have one Father, even God. They got to go back to Adam for that one. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you'd love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You know, see, there's nothing there to get it. Hear of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you'll do. He is the murderer in the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. Now you can't speak a lie unless there's a truth there. See? In no way. That's why lies are perversion of truth. For he is a liar and the father of it. And I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. He said, I don't care how you trace your lineage, your ancestors, how far you go back there. He said, I want you to notice something here. When you talk of being one in New Jerusalem, you've got to admit to a barrenness. Unless God does something for you, and you're already there in the election, or he can't do it. There's no way. There's nothing God's going to do a thing for you. Unless you're already in the election, way back there. And as Brother Branham correctly said, to have representation here is based upon having had representation back there. Right? Because God made his mind up way before he made one move. Everybody got an idea. God started experimenting. God never experimented. He didn't make one move until he plumbed the depths of his own life and his own soul and decided on a plan. That plan went into action. All right. To have representation here is based on having had representation there. Notice also that Sarah, being barren, never became prolific later on. Right. Well, it tells you exactly. Many more are the children of the desolated than she which has the husband. But see her fulfill as a group. Isaiah 53:11 and Isaiah 54. Let's go back to Isaiah 53. Notice what it says here in that 53rd chapter before he hit 54. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify the many, for he will bear their iniquity. Now this is the Sarah group. See? Now watch, many. And the many are very, very small. As it was in the days of Elijah. He said, I've got a remnant. I've got an election. 7,000 out of millions that hadn't bowed the knee. Going into the promised land, those over 20, only two out of a couple million went in. Very, very few. All right, let's read in Isaiah 54. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now he tells right there. He said, when it does come to pass in God's plan, the elect are very, very few. That God deals with the very few people. God does the ultimate for very few people. He does a lot for a lot of people. Sure, Hagar out there, she's got a multitude. Now listen, he says to the wife, to the true wife, enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and shall inherit the seed of the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. In other words, everything that God desolates down here at the end of the tribulation is going to be turned over to bride down here. She's going to take it all over. Run it all and have it all. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and thou shalt remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Not remember. Now she was just as good as a widow. She's the one. For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. Now she fulfills that. Absolutely. As Brother Branham said, New Jerusalem is going to be 1,500 miles wide at the base, a square, and a pyramidal structure, 1,500 miles high. Now he said, if you put that in Jeffersonville, it would go up to Maine and down to Florida and out past the Mississippi River. I forget how far out he said it was, 1,500 miles. Now, when you consider the rebuilding of the entire earth, of which only 1/6 is land at this time, 5/6 is water, and it all goes back to land, that's a drop in the bucket. 1,500 miles compared to 25,000 miles, a drop in the bucket. Sure it is. It's not very big. Very small. A very small portion of the United States. Well, it's not such a small portion. You consider the United States about 3,000 miles across. I suppose it's maximum where the two furthest points of land go. But it's still not very big. All right. You notice the barren did not become prolific. But she become the ones in charge, because you will always find that rulers and governors are very few as compared to those that are ruled and governed. So therefore, the New Jerusalem, the great city of which we are a part, individual members, called in Sarah, that comes down here, will reign and rule over millions and millions, perhaps billions of people that come up in the second resurrection. All right. Now we want to notice another thing. In Genesis 22 and 2. Here is God talking to Abraham. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee in the land of Moriah. Now right there you'll notice that this is a beautiful picture of the fact of God dealing with the bride through Christ. Now you notice that Brother Branham said David had 500 wives constituting one wife for the millennium. We got sort of a picture here of the same thing. He looks down and he said, now take your son, your only son. Isaac was the only true son. Now why was Isaac the only true son? Because Ishmael was illegitimate. He was illegitimate. Why? Because he had an Egyptian mother. Now, Hagar is called the wife of Abraham. Nobody's going to argue the point. But I'm going to tell you one thing. In the judgment she's cast out, she's not the wife. And I don't care if she was a wife to him and bore a son. She is not counted as a wife because she is illegitimate. And her son is illegitimate. Why? Because Sarah had the same life in her that Abraham had.
Amen.
And if that seed of God is not in an individual member of the bride, if that seed is not there having been transposed and transferred down, the Holy Ghost will fall on you and all you'll get is an anointing. And you can talk this and talk that, but when it comes down to reality, something's going to show as it's showing today. If Brother Branham could stand up there and you knew something was real, there's a group of people risen in this last hour of which something is real that's never been real before. Well, they say, who do you think you are, Bill? You mind your own cotton picking business. I'll tell you, I'm a son of God. Joint heir with Jesus Christ, realizing the message this hour and being a part of it. Go on back to your Hagar. Fright! No bastard could ever take correction. And correction lies in the Word! Because that's where they went off. Hagar never had the bloodlines. Ishmael couldn't have the bloodlines. There's no way he could be heir. No way she could be a wife. That's where you get the names taken out of the book of life, my brother, my sister. But Sarah's was in the Lamb's book of life because she had the same life as Abraham.
Hallelujah.
Sure. Oh, hallelujah's right. Time to get excited. Don't be around me and not get excited. I'll throw you out if the deacons don't. Merciful God, we haven't got time for any milk and hogwash around here. Oh, listen. This is on fire, brother, sister. All right, Ishmael proved who he was. Let's go to Genesis 21 and 9. Now look at it. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. Couldn't take it. What do you think the Catholic Church did to Luther? What did the Lutherans do with Wesleyans? And what did the Methodists, that bunch of Nazarenes, missionary lines, and the whole bunch do to the Pentecostals? Now what did the Pentecostals do to us? Let me tell you one thing, we ain't never going to organize. There's no way. No way. All preachers ran around preaching this thing and that thing, and they said, get a gang around me. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Old Lee Bailey ain't running nowhere. If you don't get the presence on your own, you're out of luck. I'm going to have no crowd around me. Never have, never will have. Listen, it said he mocked. Now let's go to the end time just before the bride is taken away. I like what Brother Terry said. He brought this out in Columbus beautifully. His own little way of doing things. You couldn't say it wasn't human. You couldn't say it wasn't legitimate. But it was illegitimate in the long run. Because he brought forth an illegitimate son. Saying, where is the promise of his presence? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue during the beginning of creation. Now they're looking at the wrong understanding of promise. A presence. Oh, where is that meeting in the sky? Where's the 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 presence? It's here. It starts right here. That's what I went. So then, Quincy, I took 17 sermons on the mechanics and I said, everyone starts down here. And I took that step by faith, not knowing I'd find in Brother Branham's own sermons that the epiphania, and that word means the outburst, the outshining. So I began to realize Brother Branham said, clouds. He said, yes, he's coming in clouds. Clouds are glory. And then he said, oh, what a glory Luther had beyond Catholics, and what a glory Wesley had beyond. He started coming back in the cloud of glory revelation. He said, oh, what a glory in this hour. It'll never fade away. The epiphany right amongst us. The presence right amongst us. The apocalypse is amongst us. The whole thing amongst us. And they say, oh, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Yeah. They said, where is he? Where is he? He said, I'm the one right here. Oh, they said, you couldn't be the one. But he said, I'm the one. Oh, you're the other guy. Oh, yeah. You think it's not running true to form? Oh, come on, wake up. It's run true to form. Not running true to form, it's run true to form.
Amen.
I told you, while I'm always looking around, I know something's going on, but it always takes the word to correct me. Are we standing still? Are we this? Are we that? I thought Brother Brown said we're already in the resurrection. No wonder something inside of me says ain't no way to get out of here except just get up. I told you, what if I don't make it? What if I don't make it? Abraham looked for a city whose building maker has gotten. He's up there right now in a glorified immortal form waiting for that city to come down. He'll be a part of the old patriarch sitting up there toward the top. Isaac, Jacob, oh, but no Ishmaelites there. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. See, you're vengeful. I'm not vengeful. Who wants it? I'll tell you one thing. If they're there, I don't want to be there. Boy, why you say why that? Because the Word says so. I know I'm in the wrong place. Forget it. Now it says they since for all his fellow sleep, all things in the rhythm from beginning of creation, and for this they willingly are eager of. It says they're willingly eager, they want to be that way. You tell me why. You know why? Because they got their own show going. Yeah. Let's go back to Galatians 4 again. This ain't no hodgepodge message. You may think so. She ain't no hodgepodge message. Get that in your head. 4th chapter, 28 to 29. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him, was born after the spirit, even so is it now. And they both had the same father. Brother Brown said, and I said the other Sunday, last Sunday, I think I said the same thing. The orniest prostitute in all the world could have a baby. And see, I got a child from the Lord. Exactly right. Law laid down. Where else did she get it? Devil can't create. Devil doesn't establish laws. He just perverts. The devil perverted the sex act, but that had nothing to do with in the beginning. It lay in the persons. Should have been used a different way. It's a perversion of it. That's right. Brother Man said, take up a bunch of words and go, shh. They were to provide the spirit, as it were, the spiritual part, and God would have brought the body. So man got into making bodies. So God had to turn around and bring a man back spiritually, and he raised him from the dead. Not by sex, but by a creative act, Brother Brown said, a marriage and divorce. See? I'm not against sex. The thing is, it's running its course, that's all. Just like the baptism with the Holy Ghost, they don't know it runs its course too. And Brother Brown said, it takes you right, and he said, justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost gave way to the Holy Ghost himself. Hi, my Father, one. See? United. Lift up your heads, ye gates, ye everlasting doors. Don't look down your noses. Look at God tonight. See, all right? So here's a picture of grace and faith. It is all what God does. And it is according to his word of promise. Grace and faith is what God does according to word. But notice Hagar, she's asleep. What are her roots? Who knows? Well, she came from one of the three, Ham, Shem, or Japheth. But you gotta be able to get pretty picky. Because now you gotta come from the whole bunch of them. For Jesus said Jerusalem, then Samaria. Judea, then Samaria. Then the uttermost parts of the earth. And one of the first great moves is down into Africa to the black people. He's the Ethiopian eunuch came up there, of the Moors. Haile Selassie claims he's a direct descendant of Solomon. Maybe he is. I wouldn't be surprised. Wouldn't fuss one point about that. But also, he could have been brought his ancestry to the Lord when the gospel invasion hit. The invasion of the gospel hit Africa. He might not have any relationship to Solomon in any way, shape, or form. But the gospel could have gone down there. Somebody read the book and said, well, that's how it is. Because even a Baptist lied about anything too, you know. Like Dr. Carroll, he's going to prove the Baptists are the original. They never had an organization. They were with John the Baptist. Well, if they were John the Baptist, they're the bluer right there. Even a mighty man can be crazy and hoot out. Too bad it's the truth. What are her roots? Who knows? Now the Hagar is Jerusalem, which is from below. We read that to you over there in last Sunday in Matthew 23:1-39. here's what Jesus said this Jerusalem was. I read New Jerusalem. Here's earthly Jerusalem. All you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Why, he said, you're white as sepulchres, full of dead men's bones. Wipe the outer part of the cup. Make the inside clean, full of iniquity. You stand up and you say, our fathers killed the prophets. And the minute you say your fathers did it, it proves who you are. You are. You're the sons of murderers. Murderers just like them. And they turn and kill Jesus Christ. And they're trying to kill the word right today. And they'll succeed. Don't worry. They'll succeed in their own way. But God will succeed in His way. He'll take a bride out of here. And the last thing happens is spiritual death. Sure. He said, fill up the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you generation of vipers, you serpent seed. How can you escape the damnation of hell? He said, you can't. He said, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes. You persecute and kill them. And upon you is going to come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, the blood of righteous Abel, the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias. And it did in 70 AD, and it's going to happen again according to the book of Revelation. That's right. So over there in Rome right now, old Babylon, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets. There it is, Jerusalem. That's Hagar. See? That's what the law said, thou shalt not kill, but they became killers. Thou shalt not commit adultery, but they became adulterers. Thou shalt not steal. But they got all around the word of God and said, this is that, and that's the other thing. They took their creeds, their dogmas, their tenets. And they defile the word of God, for Jesus said, you've made void my word by your tradition. If you void the word of God by tradition, and a man hold up his hand and said, by the grace of God, I'm bride. I'll tell you one thing, by the grace of God, he's a liar. Amen. You say, why by the grace of God, he's a liar? Because God's a God of grace. What do you think? He's a liar. He judged a liar because God is a God of grace. Because God gave him the truth. God gave him the whole thing. But he voids it. Trinitarian dogma, all these things void completely the word of Almighty God. And people think, well, it's okay. It's all right. It isn't all right. Amen. Brother Brand said, just one word that changes it. That's all it takes. Listen, he said, I would have gathered you. How does he gather them? By prophets. The church has had a gathering. Oh, listen, brother, sister. Let's take a look over here in 2 Thessalonians. That second chapter and see. Our own condition. That's after this mighty cloud of angels supposed to come down. Seven great manifestations of the Holy Ghost in angelic form. The seven spirits before the throne. And the Holy Ghost himself right in the midst thereof. Seven manifestations like the seven colors of the rainbow right there. Come on down in flames of fire. And he said, now we beseech you by the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and a gathering together. And Brother Branham categorically said that was a shout. The word of Almighty God brought by a prophet. How often I gather, he said in Matthew 23, but you wouldn't. What did they do to the prophets? They killed them. They scourged them, beat them from city to city. Rose up against them, brought their mighty anointing from God literally to a standstill. And then he said, I'll send you wise men, those who can handle the scripture, and they turned them down. And then he said, I'll just bring you the guys that just simply read it, you turn them down. Before it's over, the prophet's knocked out, the fivefold ministry's knocked out, and the layman's knocked out. Sure, excoriated. They don't want a thing to do with him. The squeeze is going to come down. John 8:23. That pinpoints it, tells exactly what it is. He says here, you are from beneath, I'm from above. I'm not of this world, you are from this world. Hagar was of this world, and Ishmael. But Sarah and her group is from above. Fine. Spoken word's original seed, brother, sister, never changes. You say, well, that original seed out there looks like it's in a cockle burr. That's fine. No problem, still there. No problem. The cactus one day is going to be a beautiful flower. It's just all prickly, so are we. Yes, sir. So, she bears all her children naturally. Hagar does. The will of the flesh. No supernatural faith or grace. She takes the word and makes out a system and brings them in by the system and supplies the life herself. Come and join my ranks. Do this, do that. Yeah. If people say they believe this message, they're going to get out of here without him being present. That's a laugh of the ages. Brother Brown said Jesus does all three in descending. Descending means to come on down, not stay in midair. And he said that trumpet was to take in the wedding supper. And Brother Brown said when that spirit's in your midst now becomes incarnated to you, you'll crown in King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the same prophet said. And the seal number one going on up, he said, that spirit going up, and the spirit of hell coming down here and getting incarnated while the spirit of God's going up there to be incarnated in Christ. I will sing and shout and dance about. That's right. Sing around the throne and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They say he's not here. Oh, we're looking for him. Why can't they see him? Brother Branham said that day when the veil was rent in the temple, the mercy seat stood in full view and Christ is our mercy seat. And when that one was, he said, this is the sword of the King. And he said, held in the hand of that one that can wield that sword and slash it with the flaming word of Almighty God, ripping aside the creeds and dogmas. What do you see? The mercy seat in plain view. Christ revealed. Sure. You're not going to believe that for 5 seconds. No, they got it all figured out. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're so nice, bunch of legalists. They love him. Well, if you love liars, that's fine by me. You go ahead. He was seduced by a liar. One day God's going to nail those lies down, though. I'm not telling you. I'm not mentioning names, but I'll tell you flat. I got the name. Don't worry. I got the witnesses. If you want a showdown, I can haul. I can have a showdown. Bless God. Rock, just about rock a nation. Lies, lies, lies. Mocking, mocking, mocking. Fighting, fighting, fighting. What's the fight? It's simple as ABC. If he isn't here, I'll admit up to it. I've added. I'll go to the tribulation, get the plagues, and go to hell for doing it. But if he is here and they've taken him out, where does that put them? Amen. See, they're playing games. Games, games, games. Bring on the Atari machines. I don't even know what it's about, but I see it's advertised all the time. And kids, and there's these little galleys they have. Wouldn't waste my time. That's their idea of space wars. Listen, there's a war going on right now, my brother, my sister. And it's not in your cotton-picking television set with your Atari. Your space wars. There's an airspace war going on now for the upper space. Let me tell you something. Moses stood there as that great leader and God said, you're over. You're not going in. Every prophet has to die. There isn't one can survive. There isn't a church messenger can survive. Brother Branham was a double dose. He was a church messenger and a prophet. He couldn't live. And they said that Joshua is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. God raised up Joshua. Joshua stood there to lead him over, and suddenly a man in tremendous colors of a uniform, a great, tremendous, august person stood there, a general. And old Joshua knew something directly with you. He said, now I want to ask you a question. He said, I don't know you, and evidently I don't know if you know me or not, but he said, whose side are you on anyway? There's your arms. He said, me. There's captain of the host of Israel. God had changed from a pillar of fire into a theophonic form of a man. A general, the captain of the host of Israel, here to lead us in. Brother Brand said, the pillar of fire is to take us in. They said, where is he? Where is he? Where is he? He's here. You say, can you see him? I don't have to see him. You think I'm nuts? You've got to be stupid. Merciful God, examine your heart and your brain. You haven't got anything in you that's spiritual. Amen. Because nobody but a prophet can see a pillar of fire. God talks literally only to prophet. Haven't had one for 2,000 years and had one now. But he's off the scene. He said, he must increase and I must decrease, speaking of Almighty God. I'm glad he's here, brother, sister. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If I don't make it, it was in the cards, I wouldn't make it because there's somebody going to make it. Sure. All right. There's your church members. See, there's that bunch. Hagar's not in the election. No way. She's only ordained to destruction. Let's go to Jude 4. You say, Brother Veil, just a minute. Don't Brother Veil me. It says cast her out. Boy, you say you're not nice. Just spit in God's face. Don't spit in mine. I'm just reading it. Now it says here, for thee are certain men crept in, who were of old ordained to this condemnation. Not foreordained, but ordained. And that word ordained means one written of. She was written of. But the book wasn't written in the man's book of life, no sir. It was written concerning that would happen. It's written concerning this hour. This is not foreordination, which deals with known before of God, but it's known what you're going to do. Here's your church members and your legalists. Now, without much ado, let's go back to Galatians 4 and 30. You can see a sermon like this I should put hours on. Maybe ain't through preaching yet. Might come back for some more, but I doubt it. I want to get back to the resurrection. Now listen, verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast up the bondwoman and her son. For the representation has been fulfilled. It's all gone. It's meant for destruction. That's what it says there. The bondwoman and her son will not be heir. Cast her out and her son. She didn't produce the heir. The free woman did. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ are produced by the same spiritual lines. He was of God and we in Him and we are of God. My wife, my sister, my fair one. See, there you are. So we look at Galatians 4 and 30. Now there you are, that's the end of the matter. That is the end of the matter. Sarah is grace and faith. Come in. Hagar's law and works out. Well, they're still saying, well, if you pray so much, you'll make it. Now, of course, they're telling everybody, and it's not too far from here, they've been spouting around the country, that, you know, Baal doesn't believe in praying anymore. You see why? You know why they don't want me believing in prayer and praying anymore? Because that's how they're going to make it. Now, if I'm praying too, we got a real problem. I've just said prayer isn't going to do it, but you ought to pray more than ever. How are you going to climb Jacob's ladder? Unless he takes you. You ever hear of the guy that got so disgusted he didn't even want to make it, so God cleaned him up and took him home? Now, where's your legalist? Oh, we believe Brother Branham. You don't believe Brother Branham at all if you're legalist. There's no way you can believe him. Because this girl was drowning, and God brought her back. Then now she gets pregnant, the baby dies, and she's going to die, but God heals her to clean up and takes her home. Oh, they said, give me God would clean her up, so she'd live. Hallelujah! You legalist, shut up and sit down. She ain't going to live for him, taking her home. His brother Howard died the same way. But Howard knew he was going. He got the black suit. He said, clean up, I'll be gone. They said, oh no, you'll beat it this time. He said, no, I won't. But Brother Branham couldn't get him. God refused to let the prophet get there, because all he had to do was walk in the door. And Howard had the kind of faith to rise and walk out. And God said, he ain't walking no more. He's gone. Disobedient. Or they say, that man smoked cigarettes. He used to work in the circus. He was married more than one time. He won't be in the bride. How do you know? The foundation of God's stand assured the Lord, not you. Not even the prophet. Sure. I can tell you one thing you can know by scripture, where grace is abounding, where grace isn't. You can tell the way they talk at the end time. Book of Malachi tells you that. At the end time, the jewels are talking a certain way. If they don't talk a certain way, forget it. They're not talking to God, my brother, my sister. They're talking to each other. And they're not living this and doing that, and they're talking. By their words, they're justified, and by their words, they're condemned. They sure, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. You can teach what you want. I care less. You can take what I say and pervert it. They're doing it all around the country. Run around, say this and say that. One guy wrote one letter. He said, Brother Veil, is it true? He said that you don't believe the prophet's message anymore. And you're writing your own books, and you got your own message, and you don't pray, and you're this. And I said, you were in Columbus. I said, did you sit there asleep, or did you listen? That you should ask those questions. And I signed my name. The next thing he writes a letter and says, now, he says, now, April, that what, when is Easter Sunday, April the 3rd? He said, if the rapture doesn't come April the 3rd, the resurrection, he said, then there was a false prophet in that, meaning Brother Branham. I don't think he was asleep. I think he's worse than asleep. I want to tell you something, brother, sister. People get awful smart these days. They say anything they want to say. You say, well, Brother Bay, you say it. You catch me off this word. Come on. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll pay a price to make your eyes bug. End up going to hell, too. No way off this word. Because it aligns with the prophet. Jot and tittle. You know why? Because he brings all things to our remembrance, what has been taught. See, God's God. Show me where William Branham is a legalist. What do you say? I can quote your brother man and said, I'm a legalist. Why did he say he's a legalist? Because he didn't believe in doing washing on Sunday. Or going playing pool and playing ball. There's a big difference between legalism and stupidity, my brother and sister. Legalism is a denial of the faith and grace in Jesus Christ and think you get there on your own. Lack of grace and stupid, some kind of language that some kind of eternal security means I can do what I want. You're going to do what you want anyway. Because you never had him in you wanting to do anything. Get her down to where it is the prophet taught us the truth. Now it says right here in the 30th verse, nevertheless, what said the scripture? What does the Bible say? He said, here's an allegory. What does the Bible say? Looking at those two, get rid of that woman and her child. Bring in the other one and her child. And one it says, come in. The other says, depart. All right. What do you got in the tape? How many minutes? You got a half a sign? We'll more than take care of that. All right. Paul says, I marvel you're so soon removed from him which called you the gospel of Christ to another gospel, which is not another. There would be some that pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you in which we have preached, and be accursed. Oh, it says right there. And what gospel was Ishmael and his mother in? What was Sarah in? Was a lineage. A lineage. He said, you Pharisees, you can't take it, he said, because you didn't come from God. It isn't in you. Where did it come from? Spiritual way back there in the garden when he's breathing out on the breath of lies and he became a living soul. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. And he put him in a position where they could turn to sex, and they did. They lost out. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? He said, no way. Now I'll go to the second chapter, 14th verse. Oh, you read 5th. Well, he said, when I saw they walk not upright according to the truth of the gospel, said to Peter, and before all them, if you being a Jew live after man the Gentiles and do not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews? He was trying to get the circumcision back in again. And we are Jews by nature, not sinners, the Gentiles. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I don't care what you do. You say, well, Brother Bill has to begin with. From there on in, you see, it's what you do is what he gave you. Well, you've got to be sick. In other words, you start acting like a horse, you're a horse. You see people act like dogs, bark and everything else. Well, they started as a human, now they act like a dog, so they're dogs. No way. In other words, I'm trying to show you something here. What that was in you to begin with carries on. And there isn't one action changes it. It would take a recreation. First of all, a dissolution. How could God dissolve a horse and then make a dog out of it? No way, shape, or form can even God do that. You say, why? Because it's not in him to do it. People are still crazy, aren't they, these days? They think God's going to take a horse and dissolve him and say, now, horse spirit, horse life, I'll now go abracadabra, kill a Mizzou, and you're now a dog. Oh, merciful heaven. No wonder preachers are messed up and pews are messed up. Where did anybody get a stupid idea like that? God can do everything. God can only do according to his own attributes. Amen. In God was not to be a hog. That's right. Was to be sheep. In God was not to be a vulture.
do. Now, he can make those others. But watch his attributes. If you get all mixed up, I don't understand. How can you understand a thing when you go beyond it? All right, here it says, we're not justified by works, no way, shape, and form. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Now he said, listen, Peter. He said, you went right back to that law. Did Christ tell you to go back? No way. Peter had to turn right around. Paul said Peter admitted he was wrong. You say, can a man full of the Holy Ghost make a mistake? Sure, but assume he corrected the word corrects it every single time. He'll go to the word every single time. Now he said, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law, I'm dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, loving, gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Christ Jesus hath been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. This one I learned. Receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun the Spirit, now being made perfect by the flesh? Listen. When they gave in blood of an animal, did the Holy Ghost fall on everybody? No way, shape, and form. When the blood of Jesus Christ was given, the life and the blood came back. The anointed soul life of Jesus. Anointed by God, that life in there came back on the believer and rectified the soul. Spirit would go to spirit and soul would go to soul. So this was a combination somehow that God worked out and brought it back upon the people. All right. Now it says, Abraham believed God has counted him righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the children of Abraham? Cast out the woman and her son. Now, Brother Brad said Esau was a mighty fine man. Didn't work. He loved his father and mother, tried to help him. Israel finds a strapping boy. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Just like old Esau, he couldn't get to the promise. This kid could not get to the promise. And I don't care how fine a person lives. I don't care how fine he acts. I don't care what he does. Look at your full gospel, Christian businessman. Ha! But they fell prey to the golden calf. Yeah. Just like a bunch of accused old Terry's convention up there in Edmond, they said he said they went for the golden calf. When did he pass the offering plate? I never heard on the tape. Did they dance around and shout like Pentecostal? I never heard that, but I know where to go and hear it. Who gave the man the right to say that? Huh? I asked a certain man one time. I said, I'm told you got microphones in your pews to pick up the tongues interpretation of prophecies. Is that true? He said, no way. But he said, that doesn't bother me. What does bother me is this. If I did have the microphones, there's no tongues and interpretation of prophecy. Here God was setting his church in order and he didn't want it. Now come on, go ahead and follow that kind of stuff. Go right ahead. Be my guest. You can't. I don't care. Let the old crow stick all the dove feathers in his tail he wants. He ain't gonna work. You say, Brother Bill, what makes you think it's going to work? Because the prophet said so. A vindicator prophet put the church in order. Brother Neville said, Brother Branham, what I do? He said, just let us sit and we'll find if it's a bastard child or not, whether it takes direction. And he said, what did he do? He all ran down to Junior's church. Look, it's on tape!
Amen.
Do you want me to read it for you? I can go upstairs and get the book. I think I find it. People don't want to hear things like that. Oops. And don't say anything. Go on home and stay home. We'll have no more church from now on. But I'll tell you one thing you better do. You better have enough money to get drunk. Because you're gonna want to block your brains out one of these days. You bet. You're gonna want to. If you don't join Rome to get the money, you won't be able to buy the beer either. For the booze to get tight on. I'll just lay her right on, lay her down flat, because your pressure's coming, my brother, my sister. Let's get this flat. Pressure's coming. You say when and where, don't ask me, but it's coming, because the prophet said so. Oh, listen. You get the picture? The horse at the end time, white, red, black, was brindle. Everything poured into one. And a brindle horse is poured into one. Brother Brandon didn't know the word was brindle. He called it pale. It's brindle. Brindle is white, and red and black. You said there's some tan in there. Oh, we're in a shop. Brindle horse. Now, so that's going to come at the end time on the people. What's going to be in this age? There'll be the lion, there'll be the ox, there'll be the man, and the eagle. And God will be with our mouth, don't you worry. Yeah. Oh, yeah. People think God letting down. I'm going to tell you something, God ain't letting down nothing. Except he's letting down the ladder. Sure, everything's all right. I just preach rough. Everything's all right. Listen, for the labor, don't give me that nonsense about that junk out there. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. It was counted to him for God. His faith brought God, not his prayers. Abraham had given up. And even when God said, by Sarah, you'll have a son, he couldn't, he laughed and he said, all that Ishmael might live. So much for Abraham's prayers. So God answered him. But that didn't put Ishmael in the kingdom. Get him out. Get him out. Get him out. One day Sarah said, Sarah said, this boy will not be heir with my son. Get rid of him. And Abraham took his glasses off, wiped his eyes. Oh, I forgot he got a good eyesight back. He didn't have to wipe his eyes. Ishmael at manhood, 13 years, big party, the whole bit, get rid of him. Come on. Sarah, New Jerusalem, said, no way. No way will I be heir with that. I'm tired of it all! I want to see one more rotten thing, think one more rotten thought, have one more rotten anything. Because I know where it came from. The rest said, I don't want anything rotten either, but I'm going to bring it on. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I hope you do pray. And you'd better pray. And I mean, you'd better pray. God calls you sometime to really get in your face to pray. You better get down and pray. He'll save you. He'll save you. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not telling you a lie. All right. He therefore which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. God preached the gospel. And who brought it to Paul? God. Who brought it to William Branham? God. Who brought the word to Moses? God. And when the word needed interpreting, who came to Moses? God. That's your gospel. The gospel of God. Grace. Amazing grace. Not that you and I get out there and be sin and be foolish and pull this and pull that. No, my brother and my sister. We don't either. But you could be as perfect as the dew before the rising sun and shimmer with a beautiful glory. And except you're foreordained unto eternal life and are born again, you're out there. Cast out. Even the foolish virgin cast into utter darkness, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Didn't say like a fire. It said utter darkness. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. Curse everyone that continue not in all the things which are written in the book to do them. Paul said, I have not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. That no man is justified in the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. How are we going to make the resurrection? They died in faith. How are we going to be changed immortal? In faith. See? Christ redeemed the being from the curse of the law, being made a curse, press written, and cursed everyone hanging on a tree. The blessing of Abraham went on the Gentiles through Christ. The men received the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Now that Abraham received the promises were made, he said, not as to seeds of many, but as one as thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, the covenant is confirmed before God in Christ. The law was born a year, 30 years later, could not disannul. Then it should make the promise on the effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it's no more a promise. If the inheritance be of law. Okay, brother, sister, let's go back to Ephesians. Now I'm going to close because, look, you haven't got the picture. You'll never get it. I'm on page 6 and maybe a few notes on 7. Who needs it? Let's go to Ephesians. Listen. Listen carefully in Ephesians. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened. You may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We're talking about inheritance, were we not? Isn't that what it said? It said inheritance. All right. Listen, for if the inheritance be of law, it's no more promise. But God gave the inheritance by promise, and the promiser is here to fulfill the promise. Did you ask him to come? Did you know he was coming? And when he came, did you know it? Until you're made wise to it. Did you even know what you know now, except that I preached it to you based on what the prophet taught? Knowing in 70th Daniel, 70 week, he said the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes into the church. Why? There he stood, he said to the book of redemption, to take it all back. The inheritors now can have the inheritance. How are you going to get it? Believing he's here doing it. Who descended with the message? Who's going to raise the dead? Who's going to get us there? Oh, bring in the Pentecostal preachers that inundated this message. Blind leaders of the blind.
Amen.
Not knowing that God, which hath begun the good work, will perform it. And he didn't say, I'll help. I'll get you to help. And the bride stands back, brother, sister. She's smart. She's sensible. She's not sucked in by some willy-nilly little idea with money. And some nice gewgaws and self-made adornments. She stands back like Sarah and she said, no way. No way will the inheritance be shared. You say, oh, that's that awful Sarah, princess. Yeah. Wife of Abraham. Sister of Abraham. Lineage. The whole thing's correct. It was the illegitimate woman, her son, that stood there and said, you bunch. You bunch. Stood there thinking that they would take from the legitimate. And Sarah stood up and she said, no way. And the prophet came on the scene. And God stood there as that judge. And he said, no way. And the bride says, no way. Oh, sure, I know. I know they can't take it. I know they can't take it. Hard for us to take it. Hard to stand back. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Either we're right or we're wrong. There is no white, black, crow, or dove. There is no drunk, sober man. There is no sinner, saint.
Amen.
There is no legitimate, illegitimate. For in this hour, he that's righteous is righteous still, and he that's filthy is filthy still. And they walk to the tree of life and it's all over. It's gone in a rapture. Yes, grace or law, take your pick. Faith or works, take your pick. Nobody said for 1 minute that grace and faith don't produce works. But works don't produce them. Yeah, it's a difference. That's right. Heavenly Father, we look to you knowing the end is in view, it's in sight. We know, Lord God, that it's all over, but the shouting in the sense of the final consummation. We're into everything, Lord. The very thing that men laughed at, because I dared to say it's a progression. The prophet absolutely put it as a progression way back when he preached Easter Seal. And let us know that the resurrection actually was on, because the resurrector was here. They without us cannot be made perfect, the same prophet said, so therefore working in a bride in order to bring about a resurrection. He said the bride would bring it about. We know, Lord, what that means. By your word, we're grateful, O God, tonight. Now, Heavenly Father, knowing these things are at hand, knowing, Lord, that the real ability to judge and to do these things which we know lie within us in the sense of the exterior being so crude and so crass. Lord, we long, O God, with a passion, and we're disconsolate waiting for that time that sweet spirit comes into the church, Lord, and the dead come out of the ground. For Lord, to take hard scripture and stand in a hard way, we know we've got to do it because that's what it says. I absolutely see what Paul said there in the allegory. Sarah herself said, there's no way that this woman and this child are going to stand with us. And absolutely, Lord God, you came right behind Sarah and you told Abraham that's exactly right. You have got to listen to her because that is what I have done in her. And that's what I did it for. And she's simply taken her stand of faith. I know, Lord, tonight we're taking our stand of faith that we've got to stand with you in the promise. And there isn't any other way. There is no way we or anybody else are going to stand outside the promise. Lord, we believe the cup of the Amorites is finished. All these things are over. It's time for the gathering in. The bride going home. So, Father, tonight we're just happy again to have been here, rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And, Lord, in heaven, again we say, nothing in our hands we bring simply to the cross that we cling. We have no word, Lord. We have no faith. We have nothing outside of yours. We don't have a promise. We don't have a leg to stand on. We don't have a foundation. We don't have an upreach. We don't have anything, anything, anything. We are so happy to be with Paul when he began to talk to these people and laid out grace and law and faith and work so that he could see them as they were. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. The law did it for me as it did to him. To fulfill the law, there was death. And now, since I have been crucified, I don't have a life of my own anymore. It is either Christ in me living this life or nothing at all. Paul was gone as far as the former, but now, in union with him, blessed day of rest and salvation. Lord, we're here with that understanding this evening hour. And we cannot thank you enough, O God. And we shall go from here rejoicing, and we shall call the devil a liar. And every single thing he tried to heap upon us and say, you don't have any humility, you don't have any love, you don't have any this. And we can say right back, Mr. Devil, just what have you got except a pack of lies? You're a murdering liar from the beginning. But we were in him from the beginning. So we may have a few little old mussy things falling around us, but inside, all glorious within, waiting for the all glory without. Which only the elect have, not angels. They can't have it. No way, shape, and form. We've already got it. It's already on the road. And Father, we thank you now that you put all our fears to rest. And all allegations of the enemy go down in the dust while we stand with you and your word, standing in Sarah, our mother. Hallelujah, collectively. Bride of Christ. Joint heirs, having come from the same Father, waiting for the great day. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to go home before we do. Any sick among us, we want prayer. Come on up now. I just think this is a good time. You're sick if you're not wonderful. I'll tell you one thing, don't be sick very much longer.